Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. Fairbanks residents displaced by the Shovel Creek wildfire get to return home today. Residents of about 60 homes and two subdivisions in the Murphy Dome area evacuated 10 days ago are being allowed back in. Shovel Creek Incident Commander Rob Allen says the decision was made yesterday in cooperation with the Fairbanks North Star Borough.
We recommended that Wednesday at noon we'd be able to lift the level 3 evacuation for Perfect Perch and the Martin subdivisions.
Allen made the announcement at a public meeting last night. He says the change reflects protective backburning completed along Old Murphy Dome Road and connecting lines cut all the way to the Chattanooga River.
Firefighters went out and put fire on the ground, purposely lit a fire that would burn away from that line and deepen that control feature by removing the fuel.
Allen cautions that a lot of work remains to further secure the nearly 13,000-acre wildfire and that lesser evacuation preparedness levels will remain in place.
As of Wednesday at noon, the Martin subdivision, the Perfect Perch neighborhood, and McLeod will be in a level 2. And then everybody else that we had in either level 1 or level 2 will all drop down to a level 1 evacuation, which is pretty much where we should be this time of year anyway, especially with thunderstorms coming.
We expect them to be dry thunderstorms.
Fire behavior analyst Dana Skelly told public meeting attendees that the storms are expected as a high pressure system over the interior is pushed out by a low.
It's not bringing much moisture. It's bringing high level moisture enough to start creating thunderstorm activity.
That could result in new lightning caused wildfires, but Skelly says the chance for more significant rain showers is forecast to increase beginning Friday. A 10-person team from Utah has been deployed on a wildfire west of Delta Junction. An Alaska Division of Forestry post says the Rainbow 2 fire is about 2 to 3 miles east of Rainbow Lake and 15 miles west of Delta Junction. It says the blaze, estimated at 5,000 acres yesterday, is burning in a mosaic pattern about 3.5 miles from cabins along the Richardson-Clearwater River. State Forestry says the Utah firefighters are checking on pumps and hoses set up at those properties and at a cabin on Rainbow Lake. Alaska's legislative stalemate continues. Alaska Public Media and KTOO report that most legislators who are assembled in Juneau for a special session are prepared to vote today on overriding Governor Mike Dunleavy's budget vetoes, but they won't have enough votes unless some members of a splinter group of Republicans who are meeting in Wasilla jump ship and come to the Capitol. Meanwhile, there's a new budget issue as money from an annual administrative sweep of dollars from state accounts into the Constitutional Budget Reserve have yet to be returned by the legislature. Anchorage Democratic Senator Bill Willikowski says that if the legislature doesn't act soon, funds that pay for college scholarships and education grants, as well as power cost equalization, will be gone.
Students are going back to school next month. Energy costs are going to skyrocket in the next couple months for rural Alaskans. This is not something that we can delay.
Willikowski says the legislature needs to call itself into a special session to address the swept funds because the current session agenda is limited to the permanent fund dividend and the capital budget. Dunleavy's administration has said it is sweeping $2 billion from budget funds into the CBR, much more than the $432 million moved last year. Legislative nonpartisan budget analyst David Teal says previous governors more narrowly interpreted what funds should be swept into the CBR annually.
Why would you want to sweep these funds? And that's why I say not reversing the sweep is just throwing sand in the gears.
Teal added that the Dunleavy administration, quote, doesn't seem to shy about reinterpreting laws and policies, unquote. The Fairbanks City Council has declared support for override of Governor Dunleavy's budget vetoes. As KUAC's Tim Ellis reports, the move reflects mounting public pressure to take a stand on the cuts.
Backers of the legislative attempt to override Dunleavy's vetoes have been trying to marshal as much support as possible in the lead-up to Wednesday's vote. That's why Paige Poston and others who spoke during Monday's City Council meeting made one last attempt to get the city of Fairbanks on record on supporting the long-shot strategy.
To put something together, put something out, because it's going to devastate our city.
Julie Smith is a single mom and client of the state's permanent supportive housing program, which helps people in need find a decent place to live while they're getting themselves back on their feet. Smith says she and others in the program will be hard hit if the legislature fails to override Dunleavy's budget vetoes, which she says will cut 75% of its funding.
Some of my neighbors have a hard time just finding enough food to eat.
But former Borough Assembly member Lance Roberts says the needy don't have to depend on publicly funded social services. He says they can always ask for help from churches or volunteer organizations. And he says the city council or mayor should not offer any sort of public pronouncement of opposition to the governor's cuts because they're necessary due to what he says is an unsustainable state budget.
Thankfully, we now have a governor who recognized that and is trying as hard as he can to turn the ship around.
But two Fairbanksans who are running to unseat Matherly see it differently. Lakeisha Jordan told council members they must express the anger and frustration being felt both by people who run the state's social service programs and those they seek to help.
Our community is outraged for valid reasons.
Catherine Dodge is a former Borough Assembly presiding officer, and she said it's essential for the mayor and council to speak out.
I believe that the vetoes, if left to stand, will decimate our state. They tear at the very foundation of who we are as a culture and as a society.
A few minutes later, during the mayor's comments part of the meeting, Matherly declared he's ready to speak out on the issue.
I want to join many other Alaskan voices in supporting the overrides of the governor's vetoes.
The mayor says he hasn't commented yet because he's been talking with city residents and lawmakers about the vetoes and studying their impact on local and state services.
I did not post anything on social media or anything else, though I was asked to do it, and there was a lot of people angry with me that I did not do it.
Council member Valerie Therrien suggested the council should quickly put together a statement supporting the override. Members decided later in the meeting on a measure directing the mayor to send a letter to the legislature today stating the city government's support for the effort. The measure passed 4-2, with Jerry Cleworth and David Pruse voting no. In Fairbanks, I'm Tim Ellis.
Alaska artists are protesting Governor Dunleavy's vetoes of state funding for art programs, including in Fairbanks, where a group is draping local works in black funeral veil. KUEC's Robin reports.
Two large sculptures outside the Museum of the North were draped in black cloth, as if for a funeral. Clara Mache was part of a group of about 15 artists who, she says, were grieving.
And as artists, we look for a visual way to say something to deal with it.
Under the work called Totem by Bernard Hosey stands a woman in black, her face covered in a funeral veil.
I have created this character called the Art Widow, and she shows up when creativity is threatened.
The Art Widow is Cheryl Marie Riley, who is the coordinator of the draping intervention.
It's part of a statewide response by artists to the elimination of the Alaska State Council on the Arts.
Riley says there will be protests this week in Sitka, Homer, and Quinhagach, and in Anchorage, works that were commissioned or paid for by the Arts Council will be draped in black. The Alaska State Council on the Arts provides small grants for individual artist projects as well as for institutions. Those small grants are often leveraged into larger amounts, for the Fairbanks Concert Association and the Fairbanks Symphony, for example. The biggest match is from the federal government. The National Endowment for the Arts provides about $700,000 to art projects in Alaska. The governor's veto means that is gone as well. It would also affect arts education, such as the Artists in Schools residency program in Fairbanks. Also the governor's Arts and Humanities Awards, the silver hand seal used to authenticate Native artwork, an art therapy program for military service members called Creative Forces, and the Poetry Out Loud competition. Riley says the artists whose works were draped on Tuesday were supportive of that protest, but not the university, who asked the artist to remove the draping. Other art interventions continue throughout the week. About 60 musicians in Fairbanks held a die-in on the stage of Charles Davis Concert Hall in Fairbanks Tuesday evening. If the governor's vetoes stand, Alaska will be the only state without a council on the arts. In Fairbanks, I'm Robin.
And I'm Dan Bross.